We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers.
Think of the Music Man, you might think of Meredith Willson's wonderful show with Robert Preston.
Bob Preston, wonderful.
Yes. I just heard his voice there. We're going to find out who he is in a moment. But you think of Robert Preston, Music Man, you think of 76 trombones, and you think of 110 cornets. Boy, that guy had a lot of instruments.
Oh.
Well, the guy that I'm going to be talking to right now, really, we're going to focus on one instrument primarily. Namely, the accordion. This man plays the accordion heard round the world. He is the quintessential music man and has been for so many years. I am thrilled and honored to be talking to. The great Milton DeLugge. Okay,
thank you.
We heard your voice. Thank you so much for doing this interview. I appreciate it so very much.
My pleasure.
Milton, before we begin this musical adventure, an excursion through your illustrious career, I want to let our listeners know that the catchy recording that you just heard to open the show was indeed by Milton DeLugge and his group, and it was from a 1967 RCA album called Accordion My Way, Olay. And the tune was called So What's New?
That was an old Herb Alpert.
Was that you doing the spoken voices?
That's me. It sure is.
This is going to be highlights of your career, kind of this
okay.
is your musical life, which may have begun when your father saw a sign in a shop window that said, buy an accordion, $67, get 7 free lessons.
Exactly.
So what did he do?
He brought home the accordion and the teacher.
And the teacher?
That was the free lessons. You see, up until that time, Ron, yeah, I guess all families did the same. When the kids were 6 or 7,
right.
They gave them piano lessons. So all kids were learning a little bit about the piano. And to bring home an accordion, well, the right hand is a piano keyboard.
That's right.
So all I had to do really was get used to working the left hand, which was the bass notes. And you know, Ronnie, at that time, when he brought the accordion home, Benny Goodman was the king of swing.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my, what a band. And I was trying to play the accordion like Benny Goodman, you know, in his orchestra and the clarinet.
Wow.
Sounds kind of foolish, but you see, at that time, everybody was playing Cena Luna, Mezzamar, you know, Italian folk songs and waltzes. That's what the accordion was known for.
Right.
And I was trying to play swing, and I got lucky.
Well, you certainly did get lucky.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
You don't know how much is luck, you know.
You were born in Los Angeles?
Born in Los Angeles.
And can I say what year it was?
Oh, yeah, the end of...
1918, I believe.
Yeah, December,
December
right.
2nd?
if they'd have just waited a few more days, it would have been 1919.
That's true, then you'd be a year younger.
Yeah, which isn't too bad either.
Yeah.
You know.
What college did you attend?
I went to Los Angeles City College after John Marshall High School. My folks didn't have that kind of scratch to go to UCLA or Stanford, so I went to Los Angeles City College for about 8 weeks. because I got a job at Paramount on staff. You
wow.
see, at that time, Ron, all the studios had staff orchestras.
Ah, I
that
see.
Doesn't exist any longer.
But how did you just get a job like that? I mean, did you
well,
apply for a job?
There was just an opening for a musician at Paramount, and they didn't have an accordion player around. And I guess I got lucky, you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
I have to confess, I'm a piano player primarily. I have an accordion in the basement, which I bought a few years ago, and after the first day I never touched it because I found it was too heavy.
Well, it's heavy to wear.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to get used to it, I guess.
You just put the thing on and now try to go someplace and play. But I'll tell you, you've got to know how much is luck, honest, Ron.
Yes.
At Paramount, the same as every other studio, they had a staff of songwriters.
Ah.
And they would assign Burton Lane and Frank Lesser or Hoagy Carmichael and somebody else to a picture they were doing. And it was up to them to do all the music in that picture.
I see.
And fortunately for me, Frank was at Paramount. Great, wonderful lyric writer. My golly. And he understood not just the lyrics, but what went into a Broadway show. And when he decided to do Broadway shows, he kind of needed somebody to take down whatever it was he was singing and maybe add a couple of notes or alter something. And because we were good friends, I was with him.
Well, actually, you were kind of his music secretary, weren't you?
Exactly.
You actually co-wrote several hit songs, including, I think, a couple with Frank. We're going to get to them. You had an accordion album at some point with King Records.
King Records. Sid Nathan was.
Sid Nathan.
Yep.
Yes.
And you see, every record company had a library, a community sing album, an accordion album. You know, that was standard for all companies. And Sid Nathan decided he needed an accordion album. And that's how that got started. So the first thing I wrote was, what every accordionist plays a polka.
Right.
And I called it Hoop-Dee-Doo.
You wrote this instrumental called Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Exactly.
But it didn't have any lyrics.
Right. Only a title.
Only a title.
That was all.
So you spoke to Frank Lesser?
Yeah, because we were friends, I said, listen to this, Frank. And he liked it, you know, and did a lyric. What took me about 3 months to write took him maybe 4 hours to do a lyric. You know, there were maybe three class lyricists in the country, Frank and Johnny Mercer, and I would say we got to add Oscar Hammerstein.
Yeah.
A big class act, you know.
Right. Mitchell Parrish did quite a few, too.
Yes, he did.
Now, you loved the lyric that Frank Lesser wrote, except for one line you felt that he should have changed.
Oh, that line, Ron, was, hand me down my soup and fish, I am going to get my wish, hoop-dee-doo in it. And I said, gee, that's such a pedestrian kind of line, you know. And Frank said, you got a better line? Naturally, I thought I was a wise guy. You know, when I had a line, check my hat and park my gum, California, here I come. And he looked at me like I was an idiot. Honest, Ron. And I was one. Look, I'm trying to tell the best lyric writer in the country what to write. And it was a senseless line, unnecessary.
I guess that's the last time you did that with him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you. We were all the way through the song, you see.
Yes.
Not necessary to all of a sudden get hip or try to be funny.
Obviously, the line that went in was the one that he originally wrote about in Soup and Fish.
Sure.
And Perry Como recorded it, initially didn't really want to do the song because he had been doing a lot of ballads. Felt
he
this
was,
one was
singing all of those wonderful, from night to night, I hear you calling, you know. It never occurred to him to do a rhythm song.
But he did this one with the Fontaine Sisters, and it became a huge hit.
Oh, my
and
Lord.
And he got to like it.
Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo. This kind of music is like heaven to me. Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo. It's got me higher than a kite. And Hand me down my soup and fish. I am gonna get my wish. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight. When there's a trombone player, I get a thrill. I always will. When there's a concertina stretched about a mile, I always smile. 'Cause that's my style. When there's a fiddle in the middle, oh, it really is a riddle. How he plays a tune so sweet. Plays a tune so sweet that I could die. Lead me to the floor and hear me yell for more, 'cause I'm a hoop-dee-dooin' kind of guy.
I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Hoop-dee-doo,
hoop-dee-doo,
hoop-dee-dee,
hoop-dee-dee.
This kind of music is like heaven to me.
Oh, hoop-dee-doo,
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 hoop-dee-doo.
It's got me higher than a kite. Hand me down my soup and fish. I am gonna get my wish. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight.
When there's a trombone playing,
ha, 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 ha.
He gets a thrill.
I get a thrill, I always will.
He always will. When there's a concertina
stretched about a mile, I always smile.
You'll see him smile.
'Cause that's my style.
That's style.
When there's a fiddle in the middle, oh, it really is a real high praise. A tune so sweet.
Plays a tune so sweet that we could die.
Ah, yes, lead me to the floor and to hear me yell for more, 'cause I'm a hoop-dee-dooin' kind of guy. Us higher than a kite. We're in clover, we're in bloom. When we're dancing, give us room.
Hoop-dee-doo in it with all of our might.
Rain may fall and snow may come. Nothing's gonna stop us from
hoop-dee-doo in it. Hoop-dee-doo in it. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight.
There was a cover rendition of that by K-Star, and what's interesting is she did not change the gender. She was a hoop-dee-dooing kind of guy.
Sure. And you know, Frank wrote a lyric for her, which wasn't Hand Me Down My Soup and Fish, but it was a feminine line. Hand me down my favorite gown, this is where I go to town. Which she didn't do at all.
Hand me down my soup and fish, I'm gonna get my wish. Hoop-dee-dooing it tonight. And there's a fiddle in the middle, and he plays a tune so sweet. Plays a tune so sweet that I could die. Lead me to the floor and hear me yell for more, 'cause I'm a hoop-dee-dooing kind of guy.
Zipping right along, I am Ronnie Allen talking to Mr. Milton DeLug. And there was another song on that album we're going to talk about in just a few moments. But before we do, we'll talk about a few more of the hit songs that you wrote. One of which was Be My Life's Companion, which was a hit by the Mills Brothers. Who was your co-writer on that?
Bob Hilliard, wonderful writer, really wonderful writer. And we were very lucky. Everybody recorded the song and there were no hits until the Mills Brothers did it.
Really? So the Mills Brothers were not the first one to record it?
Right.
After we listen to it, I'm going to tell you what my favorite line is.
Okay.
Want no silver threads among the gold. Want no silver threads among the gold. Want no silver threads. Want some action instead. Want no silver threads among the gold. Be my life's companion and you'll never go old. I love you so much that you'll never go old. When there's joy in living, you just never go old. Got to stay young, 'cause you'll never grow old. People who are lonely can be old at 33. Don't let it happen to you. my life's companion, and you'll never grow old. You'll never grow old. No, you'll never grow old.
Love and youth and happiness are yours to have and hold.
Be my life's companion, and you'll never.
Favorite line in that song is about being old at 33.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen to you.
And you know something?
Yeah.
We were sitting looking at each other. You get numb sometimes. And there was no age, you see, because you could say, I know a man who's lonely and he's old at 26 or something.
Yeah.
Bob just picked 33.
Well, it's more possible rhyming words.
More rhyme, sure. Don't let it happen to you and don't let it happen to me.
Yeah.
Isn't that easy? You know, he was right.
Absolutely. Well, we got a song right now. A lot of people probably think the title is Flash Bam Alakazam.
Yeah.
But the title of the song is Orange Colored Sky.
Yes, it is.
Who'd you write it with?
Well, I had everything myself, and I met Willie Stein, who had an idea for a line in the middle of it, which was the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started to shout up and hit. That was Willie's contribution. It was a very good contribution.
Yes.
I think necessary to the song, you
right.
know. Everything else was mine.
Flash Bam Alakazam was
yeah.
yours? Oh.
But the very end of it, we took it to Frank Lesser, and he wrote the last 8 bars, which was out of an orange-colored, purple-striped, pretty-green polka-dot sky, flash, bam, alakazam, and goodbye. Now, that's the greatest ending you could have
gosh.
In a song. Goodbye.
So, was Frank Lesser one of the credited writers?
No, he was the publisher.
Oh, okay, so he didn't mind his name not being on the song
exactly.
as a writer. Okay,
yeah.
We made a lot of money as the publisher.
Yes, what a fortunate thing that was.
Oh, gosh, yes.
That was Nat Cole.
Nat King Cole. What I'm going to do right now, because you have pointed out to me privately that his daughter, Natalie Cole, recorded a great version of the song. So what I'm going to do is have a little medley of Nat King Cole's hit version of the song, and about midway through, we're going to switch to Natalie, and then back to Nat. Here is that great song called Orange Colored Sky.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange colored sky,
flash, bam, alakazam,
wonderful you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, went out of that orange-colored view.
Flash, bam, alakazam,
I got a look at you. One looking I yelled, timber, watch out for flying glass. 'Cause the ceiling fell in, the bottom fell out. I went into a spin, I started to shout, I've been hit.
This is it, this is it, I
love came and hit me in the eye. Flash, bam, Alice Sam, out of an orange colored tie.
I was walking along, minding my business, when love came and hit me in the eye. Flash, bam, alakazam, out of an orange colored purple stripe, a pretty green polka dot sky. Flash, a bam, alakazam, and goodbye. Wow, I thought love was much softer than that. What a most disturbing sound.
When I think of the word orange, I always think you can't rhyme anything with orange. Maybe car hinge? That's about it.
There isn't any rhyme.
I don't think so. Single word rhyme anyway.
Nope.
I am Ronnie Allen, and we are moving right along, not wasting a lot of time, because you have so much to talk about in your career. I'm picking up, you know, the highlights here, what I consider to be the highlights, and no matter what I do today, I'm probably going to leave out a few things, but that's okay. Maybe in the future we'll do part two.
Wonderful.
We're moving right along to a song called Shanghai, and the biggest hit version of Shanghai was by Doris Day, I believe.
Yep.
Was that a co-write with somebody?
Bob Hilliard again.
Again, Bob Hilliard.
Yep.
Interesting lyric. Did you write any of the lyrics to that one?
Yes, I had a line. I'm even allergic to rice.
That's your line?
Yeah, and then
I think that's my favorite line in the whole song.
Well, then came a rhyme after that.
I'm not sure. I remember the rice line. I'm allergic to
it's
rice.
It's just a lover's device was
yes.
The rhyme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to Doris Day and her hit version of Shanghai.
Who's gonna kiss me? Who's gonna thrill me? Who's gonna hold me tight? Tonight. Why did I tell you I was going to Shanghai? I want to be with you tonight. Why did I holler I was going to Shanghai? I want to be with you tonight. It's just a little misunderstanding that a kiss on the cheek could pass. I need you so badly, I gladly start all over from scratch. Why did I tell you it was bye-bye for Shanghai? I'm even allergic to rice. Why don't you stop me when I talk about Shanghai? It's just a lover's device. Now who's gonna kiss me? Who's gonna thrill me? Who's gonna hold me tight? I'm right around the corner in the phone booth, and I wanna be with you tonight. About Shanghai, it's just a lover's device. Now who's gonna kiss me? Who's gonna thrill me? Who's gonna hold me tight? I'm right around the corner in the phone booth, and I wanna be with you tonight. Who's gonna kiss me? Who's gonna thrill me? Who's gonna hold me tight? I'm right around the corner in the phone booth, and I wanna.
Wow. Wow, such great, great songs. I just absolutely love it. You also co-wrote another polka song, Just Another Polka?
Yeah, that was also with Frank Lesser.
Eddie Fisher had
right.
a big hit record of it. Here it is.
This is just another polka, just another polka. But oh, what a girl in my arms. Am I in heaven since we met? Is this the Philharmonic playing Romeo and Juliet?
No!
Just another polka, like any other polka. But somehow the music has charms.
This is just another polka, but holy smoker.
Oh, what a girl in my arms. I'm dancing with an angel. Oh yes, I'm dancing with an angel. That's why the band is sounding better from the moment that I met her.
Cause I'm dancing with an angel, with an angel, an angel, an angel.
She's got me dancing like I never thought I could. Arthur Mary never had it so good. This is just another polka, just another polka. But oh, what a girl in my arms. Am I in heaven since we met? Is this the Philharmonic playing Romeo and Juliet?
No!
Just another polka, like any other polka. But somehow the music has charms.
This is just another polka, but holy smoker.
Oh, what a girl in my
head. Play it again.
Oh, what a girl in play it again.
Oh.
I cannot rave enough about Frank Lesser. And you know, Ron, he ended up writing Broadway shows. Hits, Charlie, that was Charlie's Aunt, Guys and Dolls, you know.
Right, and then he had The Most Happy Fella.
Yep.
Standing on the Corner was the big record. And also Big D was from that, Big D.
Yep.
And then, of course, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Yep.
A gentleman named Abe Burrows, somebody you knew very well, was very
yep.
much involved with How to Succeed.
Frank introduced me to his friend. His friend was Abe Burrows.
Right.
And Abe wrote the biggest comedy shows on the air. At that time, there wasn't television, but he wrote the Eddie Cantor Show. That was a big show. Abe was about the best writer going in Hollywood.
A very comedic gentleman, and he was beloved.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back to that accordion album that you did, because it included a song that you wrote, which was inspired by Dizzy Fingers.
Yep.
Is it Des Confrey who wrote Dizzy Fingers?
Yeah.
You wrote some.
Roller Coaster, which
right.
turned out to be so lucky. It was the theme of What's My Line for over
years.
20 years.
It was the closing,
you know,
yeah, the closing theme, and we're going to hear the version of that song by Henry René.
Hey, right.
Oh, man, you can't sit still while you listen to this one. We're going to now move to Broadway Open House, the forerunner of TV's legendary Tonight Show. Before, you had all those people like Steve Allen and then Jack Parr and then Johnny Carson, and I'm losing track here. Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno, and now Jimmy Fallon.
Yep.
But before that, you had a gentleman named Jerry Lester hosting
the
show.
Jerry was a comic and a very cute man and just wonderful, and he was the first host of that show.
Broadway Open House.
And there wasn't anybody on it, Ron. It was Jerry, and I had a little six-piece orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And a young lady by the name of Dagmar.
Oh, I remember Dagmar. So does Frank Sinatra. He did
yes.
Mama Will Bark.
Boy, oh boy.
That's the one that he never forgave Mitch Miller for forcing them to record that song. that's the story. But there was no Ed McMahon as a sidekick to Jerry Lester?
Nope. We were just alone. It was Jerry and me in a band and Dagmar, who, you know, the big joke was when I brought her on and I said, Jerry, this is the new chick with the band. and he said, well, how does she sound? And I said, who cares? And you know, Ron, it got a big laugh, and all of a sudden I became something more than just a band leader. I was a foil for the comic, you know.
You wrote a song which became, I believe, the theme song for that show called the Beanbag Song.
Yep. Can you imagine?
What is that all about? What was the beanbag?
Well, Jerry used to call everything good or everybody that was, you know, positive a beanbag. And so I wrote, I'm a beanbag, you know, flippity-floppity beanbag. And Jerry recorded it. My God. It was no big smash, I want to tell you.
Well, regrettably, Milton, I don't have that one. Maybe we're lucky, right? But I do have an opening from one of the Jerry Lester shows where he mentions beanbag.
I think we're on. Who knows? What am I going to do? Get nervous at this point?
Here is a fella who's in charge of the show. And Jerry Lester is his name.
Just call me Beanbag.
And Jerry Lester is his name.
Wow!
I am Ronnie Allen, and I cannot really describe in words what a thrill it is to be talking to the great Milton DeLugg. This man has had a music career that I guess started, well, after you got the accordion. Realistically, I guess it really started when you took your first job at Paramount.
Yes.
You must have been about 18, 19 years old or something at that time.
Yeah, somewhere. I think somewhere in that. Frank was in the lucky thing. See, so much is luck in our business, Ron. You got to know how much, compared to talent, luck beats everything going, you know. Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to have talent, too. It doesn't hurt. Don't hurt.
It helps.
Yeah.
Well, you see, there was Frank under contract to Paramount, and we became friends.
We're going to just mention this one, Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney Show.
Yeah.
You did that, and it's a little long to include during this interview. However, it's on YouTube, and if our listeners go into YouTube and type in Milton DeLugg, D-E-L-U-G-G, along with Paul Winchell, W-I-N-C-H-E-L-L, you will be truly entertained as Milton attempts to pass his final initiation to become an official member of the Winchell Mahoney Club. Two for the Money was a show I used to watch every other. It was a Saturday night. Herb Schreiner was the host. And you were a musical director.
Yeah, that was such a big hit. And, you know, it lasted for over 5 years. And Herb decided he didn't want to do a game show any longer. He wanted to do a variety show, the Herb Schreiner Show.
I see.
That wasn't too much of a good decision.
Well,
Two for the Money just kept rolling along, and the Herb Schreiner Show wasn't as big. You know, Herb had a great talent, that down home, you know.
That's right, Indiana. Right. Yeah, he was great. I remember that Dr. Mason Gross, he was the one that would buzz in if a contestant gave a wrong answer. That was prior to the Gong Show, which we're going to be talking about later. In the Gong Show, they gonged, but Mason Gross buzzed, and he was a Rutgers professor. My brother, by the way, went to Rutgers, and Mason Gross was one of his professors. You were there for the 5 years of that show running?
Yes.
We're going to move right along now to something that most people do not know, and that is that one of the most famous Buddy Holly records ever was Rave On, an out-and-out rock and roll record. And guess, ladies and gentlemen, who produced it? Did you guess Milton DeLove? Yes, you're absolutely right. You produced that record.
Yeah.
How did that happen that you produced Buddy Holly?
Well, I was doing most of the work at Coral Records for Bob Thiel. The Buddy Holly Bunch came in to record. And Bob just, I don't know what hit him, right or wrong, but he left before the session was over. He did have enough sense to know that Buddy Holly sounded like a hit. And I don't know why he left that session.
I don't know.
Once again, you want to hear about luck?
Yeah, I sure do.
That's it. Okay, I was there.
You were there,
yeah.
And you said, I can do it, and you had never produced a rock and roll record before.
That's true.
But you produced this one, ladies and gentlemen, Buddy Holly, Rave On.
Oh, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me feeling when you say I love you. Rave on, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me feeling when you say I love you.
Produced by Milton DeLug. That one was on Coral, right? That
Coral.
One. Okay. But
yeah.
Speaking of Brunswick, which was, I guess, a sister company, we have Jackie Wilson. And I believe it was your orchestra that backed Jackie on To Be Loved?
Yeah, but you got to realize, like I say, Jackie Wilson, without him, that wouldn't have happened at all, you know.
Well, yes.
And also, for anybody musical who's listening, there were some nine-bar phrases. You didn't dare write a nine-bar phrase. It had to be four bars, eight bars, something, you know.
Yeah.
But Jackie, he sang the way he felt, you know.
And oh, man.
Boy, was he a hit. Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And here it is. It's your orchestra. How many people in that orchestra? Do you remember?
Not many. There was, it was like four or five, honestly.
Wow. But it sounded so complete. It almost sounded like it was more than that.
Someone to care, someone to share lonely hours and the moment of despair. To be loved, to be loved. Oh, what a feeling to be loved. Someone to kiss, someone to miss. Away to him for me today. To be loved, to be loved. Oh, oh, what a feeling to be loved. Some wish to be a king or a queen. Some wish for fortune and say. But to be truly, truly, truly loved is more than all of these things. Oh, oh, someone to kiss is someone to miss. When you're away, to hear from me today, to be loved.
I'm not exactly sure when Santa Claus Conquered the Martians, but I do know that you wrote the score to that. And I see here it was actually in 1964.
Now, do you know something, Ronnie? That whole picture was done in a garage.
In a garage?
And it was supposed to be like outer space, you know. They used a lot of long shots, and my golly, it was a kind of a hit for kids.
You wrote the entire score for Santa Claus?
S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S, hooray for Santa Claus.
That's your song, and you wrote that by yourself?
Yeah.
You didn't need a co-writer?
Well, that didn't need any, you know, how much brains do you have to write that?
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, Hooray for Santa Claus, written by Milton DeLug. You were briefly the musical director of The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. And that was the mid-60s, I believe, right?
Yes, it was. 66 and 67.
Was that after Skitch Henderson?
That was after Skitch. Then I came out to do Chuck shows. And you know something? I must say, he's such a talented man.
Chuck Barris.
Yes.
He lives in Sneed's Landing or someplace upstate New
right,
York.
Right, yes.
And we talk constantly. But can you imagine a man dreaming up the dating game and the newlywed game and the gong show?
Yes.
He was just
unbelievable.
Wonderful.
Well, he also dreamed up a hit record. Did you know
yep.
the hit record that he wrote?
Sure. Palisades Park.
We ate and ate at a hot dog stand. We danced around to a rocket band. Every time I gave that girl a hug. It's a part of our love. You'll never know how great a kiss can be. With his father, that's the father of a Ferris wheel. And I fell in love. Down at Palisades Park. Down at Palisades Park. You go to Palisades Park.
Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, they call him.
Yep. No, that was a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
My golly.
Yes, Apple, that was a huge hit, yes.
And you know, Ronnie, he loved to play along with the band.
Yes, he did. And we're talking about the gong show.
He would play the guitar or the flute or something.
Yes.
And I think that's the reason that there was a live band on all of his shows.
Yeah.
He liked to play along with us.
I'll tell you the one person that reminds me a little bit of Chuck Barris, of the Chuck Barris character on the Gong Show in particular, and that was Steve Martin in the motion picture The Jerk. I can see a similarity between
yes.
the character that he portrayed and the Chuck Barris that we saw on the Gong Show.
You're right. Absolutely right.
On the Gong Show, your band was called Milton DeLug and the
yes.
band...
With a Thug.
With a Thug. I guess that was Chuck's idea, right?
Yeah, that was Chuck's idea, and we never found out who the Thug was.
I can't understand. What did he mean by that? Just because it rhymed?
I don't know. It just was a rhyme, you see?
I see.
Rhyme, that's all. Nothing else mattered.
Well, to get us in the mood for this discussion, let's hear Milton DeLug and his band with a Thug. Chuck, how about bringing them on?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's...
Your role as musical director of the Gong Show included rehearsing with all the contestants.
You know, Ron, we used to audition acts. If you could walk on your hands, that was okay. Anything, any kind of an act, like 100 acts a day for 3 days of the week. And Chuck would pick the 7 or 8 to be on the next week's, you know.
But he would pick, not necessarily, I assume, the best acts in terms of the ones with the most talent, but the ones that he felt would be the most entertaining.
Exactly.
Kind of reminds me of some of the auditions that they show for American Idol, where obviously people go out and they know they're not going to be selected, but they can make a fool of themselves on national TV.
Sure.
Well, I'm Ronnie Allen, and I believe I have somebody on the phone. Somebody, would you say something?
Am I somebody?
You're absolutely somebody.
Milton, my love, how are you doing?
Wait, do you have any idea, Milton, who this is?
Well, yes, I tell you, the wittiest and the prettiest, the talentedest, I don't know how to say it, but... How are you, honey?
But he's still a nice,
I'm
he's
great.
Still,
how
wait,
are
wait,
you?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second now. We have a radio audience out there, and they're hearing the wittiest and the prettiest, and they have no idea who we're talking about.
You going to tell them?
Do you want me to tell them, or you want to tell them?
Go ahead.
Oh, me? Okay. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. J.P. Morgan.
Ta-da! Okay.
Wow. This is just an amazing reunion.
It is for me, too.
How are you doing, Milton?
Fine, honey, and you sound wonderful.
Yeah, I feel wonderful.
Do you know, Ronnie, we were together over 5 years on that gong, and without JP, it would never have made it.
Without you, it wouldn't have made it either.
This is We Belong to a Mutual Admiration Society. JP, did you ever record that song?
I did record that song.
Mutual Admiration Society with Dong Dong. There's a Jeopardy theme here while she's thinking about this. You did it with somebody famous.
That's right.
The country singer.
Eddie Arnold.
JP, I just want to say that my next interview show is going to be a full-length interview show with you, and we're going to trace your musical career, as we're doing with Milton today, and I just want to say thank you so very much for accepting my invitation. It means the world to me.
Oh, thank you very much. And Milton's career goes on forever and ever.
Well,
so this will be a long show.
Yeah, well, what Milton doesn't know is this is the first episode of a miniseries. Because his career, we could actually do 5 hours instead of 1 hour. You know,
That's right.
We were raving about you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Wittiest. I'm going to save some of the questions about the Gong Show for when I do the interview with you, because I'm sure you got plenty of interesting stories to tell. But I do have one question. I'm going to ask both of you this question. Chuck Barris had the character on the Gong Show. At least he came out there as a kind of a wild and crazy guy. So I'm going to ask Milton first. Was he that way off stage?
Not really. You know, he was a very intelligent man. He really was. And a great inventor. Look at all of those shows he did.
Yes.
I think he was just wonderful.
And JP, you want to chime in? Was he?
Yeah, he was very quiet and understated off stage. He wasn't crazy at all. He was very serious.
But when the camera went on...
When the camera went on, he went on.
And he just became a character.
But he was extremely serious and very quiet and, you know, not rowdy or anything else. He was very understated.
Exactly. There's a wonderful word, unassuming.
Yes.
My understanding is that Milton, you would rehearse, as the musical director, you would rehearse with the acts that went on the show. But JP, you didn't actually get to see any of those rehearsals. And the first time you ever saw the acts were when you were actually on camera and seeing them with the world the first time. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that was the whole charm of Chuck. He didn't want anybody to see them till they were on camera. So, you know, it worked out fine.
Sure did. And I'm going to say goodbye to you right now, JP.
Okay.
And
Milton, I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love you. I'll call you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, Milton, I cannot thank you enough. This has just been wonderful, and you are just wonderful. And you are writing a new show with a gentleman named Bill Skermerhorn.
Right.
And the show is called Swing Wings.
Right.
And it is about the war years related to Frank Lesser.
42 and 46. It really is about Frank, who deserves all kinds of kudos. I think it's going to be a cabaret kind of show. You know, I keep saying lucky, and I know how much is lucky, but I'm doing Macy's again this year.
And that was the last thing I was going to bring up. Yeah, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. You've been doing it for how many years?
49 or 50.
Wow.
Running around in there someplace.
And you have to work with all of the acts that come on and perform? Is that what you do?
And Bill has a large part to play. But I tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give big billing to Brad Lockman, because before he started on the parade as the executive producer, it was a parade.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer a parade. It's the best variety show you could actually turn on. And it's 3 hours. It just whizzes by.
So,
and it's, you know, and it's all due to Brad and producer Bill Bracken.
Are you going to be on camera a lot during this?
Almost never.
Almost never?
Yeah, I sit in a little truck with the audio engineer and tell him when to punch tapes.
Last question is, do you play any other instruments besides an accordion?
Piano, still plunking around on the piano.
Okay.
And a synthesizer. Keyboards, you know.
Milton, thank you so very much. You are like the Energizer Bunny. That's putting it mildly. And I'm going to close the show with something a little bit different. I don't even know if you're aware that Lady Gaga did a version of...
Oh, somebody told me she did Orange.
Orange, yeah. Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of her version, because this is kind of current. And it's like years and years and years after the original Nat King Cole record.
Oh, my God, yes.
So once again, thank you so very much.
It's my pleasure, Ronnie.
So, let's do Orange Colored Sky. Yeah? I used to sing this at the Oak Room with my buddies. Woo! It's getting windy. I was walking along, minding my business, when out of the orange colored sky, flash, bam, alakazam, wonderful you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, when out of that orange colored view, wham, bam, alakazam, I gotta look at you. Oh, 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 one look and I am timber. Watch out for flying glass. There's a ceiling fell in the bottom, but I don't want to know what's in every side of the side of it. This is it.
Ronnie remembers. Well, that's the show. And now, bonus tracks featuring today's most distinguished guest of honor. From the epic album, Music for Monsters, Munsters, Mummies, and Other TV Fiends. Here's the exciting sound of Milton DeLug and his orchestra playing the Munsters theme. Finally, Milton DeLug and his orchestra are featured on these two bonus tracks, which he did with his close friend, comedian Maury Amsterdam. Here's Calliope Pete, followed by Cheese and Crackers. Maestro?
Calliope. He's given a carnival show a brand new beat. He's given a lover of the jazz a grand new treat. They love to hear Calliope
beat. Beat, 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 beat.
He plays it so sweet. The India rubber man bounces off his feet. And even the fat lady just forgets to eat. She's listening to Calliope
beat. Beat, 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 beat.
When he swings that steam contraption, he's a big three-ring attraction. The way that he plays, it'll flip you. I've seen lions run amok. I've seen a horse dance with a duck. And even a hippopotamus will hip you to Calliope beat. He's dragging the customers in from off the street. The greatest, the greatest, the greatest. They all repeat, ooh, Calliope beat. That steam contraption, he's a big three-ring attraction. The circus folks all sure get with him. I've seen donkeys sit and smile. I've even seen a crocodile flipping and flapping his tail in rhythm to Calliope Pete. He's dragging the customers in from off of the street. The greatest, the greatest, the greatest. They all repeat, who? Calliope Pete.
Pete, 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 Pete.
Calliope Pete.
Pete, 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 Pete.
Calliope
Pete.
Calliope Pete.
Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese. Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese.
I thought that I could live on love, but you can't even kiss with a mouthful of
cheese and crackers.
I didn't marry you just 'cause you are good looking. I figured maybe I could get me some home cooking. But you can't even open up an old can of peas. Since we've been wed, all I get is crackers and cheese.
Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese. Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese.
Change my diet for the love of Mike, or when we have kids, they'll look just like
cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese.
Day by day, I just get thinner and thinner. For reasons like the other night when I came home to dinner. You had candles burning on the table and I thought you were trying to please. But the candles were just a toast of crackers that goes with the cheese.
Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese. Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese.
I know it sounds like I'm repeating, but how long can I go on eating?
Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese.
I got so hungry that I almost flipped my noodle. I started drooling when I looked at our French poodle. But when I rushed out to a restaurant and I ordered a steak or two, I heard the waiter say, "We've had a busy day. Sorry, there's nothing left for you but
cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese. Cheese and crackers, crackers and cheese."
Romance hasn't got a chance when you smell like a piece of leader cramps. Cheese and crackers, crackers and
cheese and crackers, crackers and
cheese and crackers, crackers and
cheese and crackers.